want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on Monday morning, April the 22nd, 2024. We pray that you are having a wonderful, marvelous, glorious day. You had a great weekend worshiping God, and you are pressing forward in the faith. Today, I want to start off by saying thank you to the folks of Jets Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And I've known the Anderson family. They're now in their second generation of running Jits Concrete and doing all things concrete and putting their decades of experience and expertise and their great work ethic to make projects get off to a great start and have a solid foundation. And I've been talking about them now for a long, long time. We've used them over and over again, but I was in a conversation not too long ago with a person that had a concrete job, and they had talked to someone, but that person didn't work out so well for them. And I had just had Jits Concrete do something at my house, and I said, "Well, you know, I've got a contractor, and he tells me your concrete guy is my concrete guy." And I said, "So let me tell you about my concrete guy." And so that was over a year ago. And he was telling me, he said, "Those guys do great work." He said, I've had them out to do multiple projects here. I've got them doing projects at my house, and I've still got more projects for them to do." And so I like to share stories like that so that you don't think that I'm just making things up out of my own head. So Jits Concrete, decades of experience, decades of expertise, and they have a great work ethic. The guy that I was talking to said, "Man, they know how to get started early." And they really do. And so if that sounds like the type of expertise you want on your project, 321-536-5804 would get you in touch with them. You can get your project off and running the way that it should be. So today we are going to go in the Word of God to the book of Ezra. And so you say, "Ezra, I don't even know where Ezra is." So I'm going to help you. And so if you go to the book of Psalms, Psalms is pretty much right in the middle of your Bible. If you turn left, like you're turning back towards the front of the book, that's going to get you to Job. And you continue turning left, that's going to get you to Esther. And you keep going another book, and that's Nehemiah. And you keep going one more book, and that is the book of Ezra. So just a little bit before you get to the halfway point in your Bible, you should find the book of Ezra. We're going to go to chapter 7. Ezra's ministry was positioned in the timeline of when the people came back out of their Babylonian captivity to resettle into the land that God had promised them. So this is going to be somewhere in the 515, 516 range, 517 range, BC. So it's before Christ. And I will tell you one thing that I have heard about archaeology when it comes to the land of Israel. They said that anytime they do an archaeological dig in the promised land that dates before the Babylonian captivity, that it is pretty common that they are going to find some sort of household idols that they're going to find in that archaeological dig. And so in spite of all of the revivals, we talked about Hezekiah's revival last week. There are other revivals that took place, that idolatry had still permeated into the daily life to where even if it wasn't taking place on a national scale, it was taking place inside people's homes. So, for instance, when Jacob brought his family out of Laban's area, geographic region, Rachel, the love of Jacob's life, stole her father's idols and concealed them in her personal belongings, if you will, and transported them. And at one point in time, Jacob had to call his entire family together. This is after the fact, because Rachel was successful in her deception, that at one point in time, Jacob said, "Get rid of them all. We don't need the idols. We are walking in covenant with the one true God. We do not need idolatry anymore." But it still showed up in people's daily life. Now, that same report that talks about finding idolatry before the Babylonian captivity describes that they could find virtually no evidence of idolatry in the nation of Israel after they returned from the Babylonian captivity. And this particular report that I read said the reason for that is because they learned their lesson in captivity, and because of the ministry of this guy by the name of Ezra. So I'm not going to talk to you about the whole life of Ezra. This is a verse that I was impacted by decades ago in my ministry, and it is a great pattern that you and I should reproduce in our life if we want to see the kingdom of God advance the way that it should advance. So here's what it says. Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." So I want to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you about four things, but I want to talk to you about three things from verse number 10 first. The first thing is that Ezra, this priest, who ministered much along the same time frame as Nehemiah. Nehemiah focused on building the wall, the restoration of the wall. Ezra, the restoration of the temple and worshiping God. It said that Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And so we've talked a little bit about Hezekiah preparing his heart. The priests had prepared their heart. And the goal was, in this case, was to seek the law of God. He had come out of an area dominated by idolatry, and they had been there for 70 years, and he said, "We're going to study and find out what God has said is the way that we should conduct our lives." A person that happened after Hezekiah was a guy by the name of Josiah. Josiah issued a decree that the temple should be cleaned up, cleaned out, and that temple worship was going to be restored, and everything was going great. And then they came and they said, "We have found a book. We found a scroll. It's the law of the Lord. We think you need to hear what this has to say. Josiah has the scroll read to him, and to give you the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version, he says, "We're in big trouble. We have been living all of this time contrary to the way that God wants us to live. And here's what God said that he expects. We need to go here and find out what the prophetess has to say about how we should proceed." And you know, not everything about that report was, you know, strawberries and cream. There was some tough news in there. And it lit a fire under Josiah to where he intentionally made valiant efforts to bring the nation into compliance with the law of God. Well, for Ezra, just like Hezekiah, Ezra started this off that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. There is a personal benefit. And so the truth of the matter is we cannot take people farther in our in their relationship with God than we're willing to go ourselves. And so I feel led to say this. We cannot isolate ourselves just to the parts of the Word of God that make us feel good. There's a preacher that I know, and I've made this statement. Man, if you want a person to preach a narrative passage, I've never heard anyone preach a biblical narrative better than that person. They are fantastic. Said, I'm not so sure they are as good when it comes to preaching doctrine, when it comes to preaching theology. There are other people that I know, they're great about preaching theology. I'm not so sure they're as good talking about narratives. And if we're not careful, what we do is we pick and choose, like we're at a buffet line, which parts of the Word of God we're going to focus on and which parts we're not. One of the strategies that you could employ that would get you exposed to the full gospel, the full Word of God, is to have a comprehensive reading plan. But even if you have that schedule, you've got to make sure that you are preparing your heart, not just your eyes, because your eyes can scan over the words and not even be aware of what you've read. And it doesn't matter if you read them 2, 3, 4 times. You can still go through that and read over them glassy-eyed and numb-hearted and not pick up on anything that God has for you at that point in time. We need to prepare our hearts, and we need to seek the law of the Lord. So where Hezekiah had the Levites teach the people the knowledge of God, Ezra focused on preparing his heart to studying the law of the Lord. And here's the second aspect. The second aspect was he prepared his heart to do it. And it's very important that we do not forget the implementation of the Word of God in our life. If all we're doing is hearing and we're not doing, we're missing out. The New Testament tells us that we are supposed to be doers of the Word. So there's a verse. And I know that there are people that this verse absolutely intimidates. And the verse says this, to whom much is given, much is required. And the carnal mindset that I have heard people adopt, well, I don't want to know very much then, because I don't want anything to be required of me. And that's not the heart of God. You know, I've heard of people who, you know, they knew some things about individuals, but they didn't know everything about individuals. And later on, they found some things out, and then all of a sudden, bam, they're like, well, why didn't you tell me that? God gave us the Word of God to help us to live the way that we function best at, live the best quality of life. So any time we willfully choose ignorance of the Word of God, we have set ourselves up for spiritual pain, spiritual misery, maybe financial misery, maybe relational misery, or physical suffering. We set ourselves up for the negative aspects of life that God never wanted us to experience. So whenever you are reading the Word of God, don't just read it for information. Read it for implementation. You know, the Nike slogan is just do it. Well, we need to know what it is that we're supposed to do, and then we need to do it. There are some stories that I've heard over the past several years. Some of them involve very, very large companies. Some of them involve people that I know. So I remember reading a story, and this shows a lack of wisdom on this person's part. They had a very, very well-paying job. They had no responsibilities. They didn't have any tasks. And so they spent their entire day doing whatever it is that they wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, when the economics winds shift, guess which people are going to find themselves in a life transition? It's the people who aren't doing anything to make the company better. So I will contrast that with a person that I know. And this particular company was aware of them, recruited them, compensated them very well. They went in for orientation, and they said, okay, we don't really have a position for you. So this is how long your contract is for. You don't really have supervisors or anything like that. Have at it. Gave them two pats on the back and said, go get them, kid. This is not any of my children, by the way. Well, this person adopted a different mindset than that person that I was just telling you about. They studied the company organizational charts. And they contacted the head of all of these various departments. They sent them an email and said, hi, my name is so-and-so. I am here to serve you. If there is anything in your department that you need assistance with, do not hesitate to reach out to me, and we will help you to get your project done as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And that person is started off in the exact same position as far as not having any oversight or even any real direction, but there was something inside of them said, I'm not just here to serve as gravity's backup plan for this desk chair for the next 6 months or year or whatever the contract was. I need to make myself indispensable, and I need to bring myself into alliance with what this company is all about and do the best job that I can. And that has worked out very well for them. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord to find out what God wanted, but then he also prepared himself to do it. But he didn't stop there, because the reason we're talking about all of these things on the Refresh Radio program right now is we're talking about the things that God wants to teach us. And so Ezra, once he had found out what God wanted, once he was doing what God wanted, he set himself out to teach the statutes and the ordinances in Israel. He taught the people of God the things that he was implementing into his life. There are a lot of people who want to keep their personal experiences. They want to keep those things to themselves. But I can tell you that sharing the wisdom of God doesn't negatively impact anyone proprietary-wise. It just enhances the kingdom of God. You would think that with all of the electronic resources, with all of the printed Bibles that there are in America, with all of the Christian radio stations, with all of the teaching programs and the online viewing and the podcasts and churches in the tens of thousands in America, you would think that everybody would know what God wants, but we largely live in a time where people are biblically illiterate. They don't know the law of God. They are lifestyle non-compliant because they don't know the law of God. And yet they don't want anybody to teach them what the law of God says. Now, my format here on the Refresh Radio program is not, if there's somebody else that does it like this, I didn't know about it when I started, because I wasn't trying to duplicate. I knew what other people were doing, but they were already doing that with excellence. So what I come on here to do is to talk about the things that I'm experiencing in the Word. And I've told you here that whenever God brings something to my attention, he almost without fail makes me live through it before I can teach it. And so America would be a lot better off if there were if there was a greater openness to being taught the law of the Lord from a perspective of personal experience, and people could see they're not just teaching information, they are teaching what they know, they are teaching who they are. And so, by the way, I just want to give a shout out to Pam. Pam has been teaching our Redemptive Compassion Group on Tuesday night, and that has been so insightful. It's not just been a book report of the resource that we go through, but it's been practical application of decades and decades of experiencing and knowing what works. And so I just wanted to say thank you to them for preparing their heart, for doing it, and for teaching it. So I told you I would share four things. I've shared with you three. Prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. prepared his heart to do the law of the Lord and prepared his heart to teach the law of the Lord. There was a result of that. The result is actually found in verse number 9. Let me read verse number 9 to you and just focus on what it says here. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And so what happened was because Ezra had prepared in Babylon to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach it, it says that when he began his journey from Babylon, that he completed his journey in Jerusalem, and so he did it. So there was month 1, 2, 3, 4. So January, February, March, April. So it was basically a 4-month journey. And I just did that for count. I know that the Jewish calendar is different than the English calendar. I was just counting Bob-wise. That because of all the preparation and the things that he had done, and he wanted to be a benefit to the nation of Israel, it said that God's hand was upon him. So the question is today, would you like the hand of God to be upon you to make your life journey successful, to get you through the perilous stages of your journey and get you to God's desired destination without incident, so that you could fulfill everything that you prepared? So the next thing is, not only would you like the hand of God, but what are you doing to prepare? What are you seeking for? What are you looking for? What are you putting into practice in your life? What are you doing with it? And the last thing is, who are you passing that information on to? When you go to church on Sunday, if you hear a joke, I hope you share it. If you hear a testimony, I hope you share it. If you hear something powerful from the Word of God, I hope you share it. It's not meant to end with you. It is meant to pass through you. And with the hand of God, we will see our nation know the law of God, do the law of God, and teach the law of God. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right
here on Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.